This is Vincent Irene with Blast Furnace Radio, and all the way from Pittsburgh to Seattle, Washington, at the Wayward Cafe. And I'll tell you one thing, where is the beef? Today we're going to be hearing their stories of how folk got from New Orleans to here and want to go back home. So introduce yourselves and then tell your stories.
I'm Joan Berniard, and I came, lived in New Orleans with my sister Bernadette Berniard and seven of my eight children. We lived in a ground floor apartment, garage apartment, so when the hurricane, when the evacuation was ordered, we didn't have transportation to get out, so we went to a friend's home in the 7th Ward and stayed there until after the hurricane. We were there for 4 days after the hurricane, and after the hurricane hit, we were on the second floor balcony of the house and waving at helicopters and airplanes and everybody as they went by trying to get help to get out. And had a couple of times a helicopter stop, said they were sending someone back, nobody came. Or a boat stopped one time, said they were sending somebody back, nobody came. Finally, the fourth day that we were there, they had actually had a helicopter that stopped there and threw down some military foods and a couple of cases of water. And then probably 2 hours later, we were picked up by a Coast Guard boat and was dropped off on I-610 at, I believe it was Franklin Avenue. Sat there, we were dropped off there probably about 2 in the afternoon and was there about 12 hours till about 2 in the morning. Sat there and watched everybody just sitting in the dark and cold and not able to do anything, couldn't get any help, kept stopping the State Patrol when they passed and asking if they knew how long it would be before the buses came, and kept getting the runaround from them. And my sister is kind of sick, so she ended up laying out, stretched out on the concrete on the bridge like a lot of other people. Babies out there, nowhere to use the restroom or anything, couldn't get to a place for a restroom or anything, so it was a lot of people just stuck there depending on other people that never showed up. About 2 in the morning they came, and the buses came, and didn't know where we were going. First they were taking us to Fort Polk, then they were taking us to the Cajun Dome in Lafayette. So we got on the bus and headed out, and as far as we knew, we were going to Lafayette once we got on the bus. Started riding out about halfway on the trip. We got pulled over by state troopers, told us to go to Fort Polk. About 15 minutes later, they pulled us over again and told us to go to Lafayette, Louisiana. So we ended up in Lafayette, Louisiana about 5 o'clock the next morning, 5 days after the hurricane, and stayed there for 8 days. And on the eighth day, we got tickets. There was an organization at the Cajun Dome called Family Net, and they were helping with transportation for people to get to family or friends or wherever they were going to try to get their lives back together. And they paid for bus tickets for myself and my sister and my seven children to get to Seattle, Washington. That was a 3.5 day bus ride, three days, 18 hours of bus riding, no showers or anything. We left the Cajun Dome with $20 in our pockets, so no food or anything along the way for 3 days, 18 hours. Finally got here, got picked up from the bus station by my brother and my niece, and from there it's just been a struggle. We've been fighting and trying to get help from different places. We went to Seattle Housing and went to the Salvation Army. We went to the Salvation Army, and between nine people, they gave us $1,500 and told us to replace everything we had lost. We got that and got assistance from Seattle Emergency Housing, which is a shelter in Seattle, and they put us up for a month. The apartment ended up being rat infested, so we had to leave there and went into a hotel and was there for probably another month or so, and finally got word from Seattle Housing Authority that they were going to put us into an apartment. So it was nine of us, only two bedroom apartments available in the complex, so they ended up splitting us up between four different apartments in the complex. After we got into the apartment, started trying to get our lives back together, we were in there with no furniture or anything for a while. I started putting in applications, and because my sister's sick, she wasn't able to work, and my kids, everything, IDs and birth certificates and everything had been lost, so I had trouble getting their identification, so they weren't able to go to work. I was the only one that was able to apply for employment, and took me over a year to get employment. We stayed there at the apartments in West Seattle, where we got placed by Seattle Housing, for I guess about 5 months. Had problems with the police in that area and the apartment manager in that area, and he was just kind of I guess against the fact that we were from New Orleans, so every time you turn around, we had police knocking on our door or police stopping the kids out on the street and harassing them. He'd keep calling every time he saw them, told them that they were threatening them and just all kind of stuff. So we went through a lot. My two sons, 20 and 21, were both beaten by the police in West Seattle before we moved from there. And we moved from there in, I guess, June of 06, and moved up to Skyway, and now we're in the house in Skyway, and trying to get FEMA to continue paying the rent, because even though I started working right after we got in the apartment, I'm not making enough money to pay $1,500 a month rent plus utilities. So we're kind of still struggling and trying to make ends meet and doing what we can do to help other people, other survivors that are here in the area that we can contact and see what we can do for them, and how we can help each other to make it through this time, and trying to help people get back to New Orleans and any way we can. We're raising money for another bus trip to take survivors back. Either in February or in the end of April, we'll be going back on another train ride to New Orleans. And I guess that's about it. I'm going to hand the mic over to the next survivor.
Yeah, my name is Lee Fleming from New Orleans, a Katrina survivor. We were trying to get out during the country flow of the hurricane. But first of all, let me tell you about a little bit about hurricanes in New Orleans. Katrina wasn't the first one. In fact, she wasn't even the first one this summer. Cindy, George, Ivan, whatever their names were, I don't know too many black folk who ever received any paperwork saying what you lost during those storms from FEMA. We don't even receive it. As a matter of fact, the next door neighbor to my mom has the exact same house, and she's a Caucasian or a white lady, and her house roof was damaged during Cindy, and she got $17,000. My mother had the same damage. She got $700. So it's a big discrepancy when you come to the government and these individuals who have maybe some things or racist thoughts, just don't feel like it's going to be ever anything done about it if they mistreat a minority person. But to get back to Katrina, we couldn't get through the country flow. Unfortunately, my mother's car was across the river in Algiers, and mine's in Gover, 30 miles an hour from Cindy. So we tried, but we said we may as well go back and stick it out. So we decided to stick it out, and it was rough. The next morning, my neighbor, he came up with the boat and everything and brought us down to near the bridge, and we slopped our way to the bridge, and then we crossed the bridge, and of course they had a lot of policemen and from, I guess, Gretna, who were offended for whatever reason for people getting out of the 10, 12 feet of water to cross the bridge. So maybe a half hour or so after we had crossed, we actually heard that they had tried to stop other people. But after seeing it on TV, I knew what had happened. I heard the noise, but I didn't know at the time what it was. But so that was the sheriff stopping other folks from crossing out of the water into dry land so that they could, you know, actually drown. We passed people who were very elderly. They were some were even dead, I think, you know, after seeing it back on TV. I said, well, I think I passed that person, and they, I didn't know they were dead at the time, but after seeing it on TV, then, of course, they were dead. So it's a lot of death, a lot of struggle, a lot of memory that's not going to be erased for a long time. And I got here to Seattle, Washington, by way of a friend of mine's calling me and telling me they were in Indiana and to come there. So I said, well, I don't know. And I had another friend over here say, come over here. He said, they got, you know, they feed you over here and all that stuff. So after getting a little money from Red Cross, which was $360, and then FEMA sent $2,300, which I didn't know what it was for, so I just went on and spent it. I bought a truck, and it broke down, and I had problems in New Orleans after that. So the police gave us a ride to, out of the project, where I actually got with a friend who came along after me, and my truck was broke down to go back to New Orleans. So I had to get in the ride with her. She was from the Ivyville Project. Just had recently moved there. And as a matter of fact, this same friend who was left in the with the convention center, which with another 49,000 people or so that they totally forgot, and she was being attempted rape, so she broke both her ankles, but she was in San Antonio, and then she's back in Mississippi, then she's in Houston. So I was in Houston once, then they asked me to go to Dallas because that's where my mom was. I didn't even know that when they asked me to, but I told them, I said, no, I'm just, you know, I've tried Houston, and when we got there, you know, you're like in line with 9 million other people waiting to get a bag of groceries. So I said, okay, I can't go through this no more, so I'm just going the first place I could. And actually, on the train, FEMA supposedly, I guess they paid it, and we got here near Idaho. I had actually, it was so funny, I had lost part of my ticket. So the conductor asked me, he said, well, look, this whole, all these people here in Idaho, it's time to get off. And I looked out there, and I'm afraid I didn't get off. I told him, man, I'm not getting off this train. And I knew I lost my ticket to Seattle. I lost that part. So he allowed me after a little while to stay. So when I got here, it was unfortunate. Things was going downhill, and the only person I knew here, he happened to be in jail, so I had to go stay in a shelter. And I had my nephew with me, and unfortunately, he had just lost his father, whom had committed suicide probably 2 weeks to the, maybe a week before, actually a week before the storm. So he felt guilty about it. He's only 13, so I decided to bring him up here with me. And it was a good thing because it allowed me, after getting into shelter, to kind of find some place with him being with me. They kind of gave me a little push, I guess, gave me a little better break. And so wind up with the house, and I'm still there. Every month FEMA, every other month FEMA threatened to not pay the rent, so you really don't know what's going to happen to you. And, you know, then if they only call you about, they call you, I guess since we're on the West Coast, maybe in the East Coast, and they call you about 4 o'clock in the morning, and they'll tell you that you have not been granted any more eligibility or whatever. And then, you know, so it shakes you right there. Then you got to go out in the streets and find somebody. What's the next place going to be? What's the next shelter going to be? Because here in Seattle, I was in the shelter, and they put my nephew in another shelter. And the next day, I got up and going around trying to find the gentleman that I knew up here, and I forgot to re-sign up. I ain't know nothing about that. So I went back to get to go to shelter. They said, well, you can't stay because you didn't re-sign up. I said, it's like the coldest day in Seattle here. He said, well, you're not on here. You can't stay. So I had to stay out in the streets with about 13 other people, and we just was moving and grooving with the wind. You know, we just surrounded each other. It was really funny, but it was like a brand-new family to me, you know. But, you know, it's my story is pretty light, but there's a lot of stories that are real that are worse than mine. And that's why, along with Joan and Bernadette and some people that started the first caravan, we decided that maybe with sanity leaving pretty quickly, that if we could help each other and help other people, we make a you know, save our sanity. And that's kind of like where we're at now. And we're trying to get back to New Orleans either February or the end of April, like Joan had said. And we just need help from all over the world. And, you know, you can look us up and all of that stuff and find out what we're doing and all the good things that has been accomplished. So give us a call. Help us out. And we're called Lanyap Caravan Common Ground Collective. And we have a web address. Okay. And we have email, which is Joni Boo, which is J-O-A-N-I-E, Boo, B-O-O, like, you know, Boo, 41@yahoo.com. So that's Joni Boo, 41@yahoo.com. So look us up and help us out. We need your help. And that's, and the phone numbers, you can call us. You can call Dr. Linda Warren, one of the organizers, at 206-914-6288. And one of the survivors organizers of Bernadette, Bernard, and Joan, and you can reach them at 206-768-5100. And I'm Lee Fleming, and you can reach me at 206-779-9017. And the website address is www.FROLYMPIA.org/SeattleCG. Thanks. God bless. Have a beautiful day. And if a hurricane happens, please do not depend on your government. Thank you. This is a message that I have approved. Lee Fleming.